ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 5 as we're continuing our study through Joshua. And as I said before, the book of Joshua is really a picture of victorious Christian living. Living that spirit-filled life, using the things that God has given us to use to have these victories. And as you're in chapter 5, keep your finger there, but look back at chapter 3, because I want to talk a little bit about that. Because a few weeks back, we looked at this study in Joshua 3, verses 1 through 6, and I called it preparation. And I told you back then that I put a question mark at the end of that word. And the reason being is, what do we need to do to prepare for this spirit-filled life? What do we need to do as we prepare to encounter the battles that we're going to face each and every day in our Christian lives, and we will face them? You see, a life that is lived out is a process of growing and maturing in the faith. And that's what we looked at, beginning with preparation for a miracle, and we saw that in Joshua 3, verses 1 and 2, where we're told that Joshua rose early in the morning. And they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. Remember, the children of Israel had come to the Jordan River, which was overflowing its banks. It was in the springtime. Water was rushing by, the melting snow and the rain and all that. It was too fast to cross through by human effort. In fact, it was impossible. Imagine moving 2 to 3 million people, women, children, all your cattle, your sheep, everything, through those raging waters. Impossible. And so, as they were preparing for this miracle, they had to come to the end of themselves. And they had to realize, we're not going to be able to do this on their own. Have you ever been in that situation where, I don't know what I'm going to do? It's impossible. And that's where God wants you, because now you have to look to Him. And after this, after they were there those 3 days, the leaders came into the camp and basically told them to focus on the ark. Look at verse 3 here in Joshua 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. In other words, what we saw was inside the ark of the covenant were the tablets of stone that had the law of God written on them. It was also known as the Ark of the Testimony. And the idea here is that they were no longer going to be guided by a visible sign, the Shekinah glory. Remember, those 40 years in the wilderness, the Shekinah glory, the glory of God, was guiding them. It was a pillar of fire by night. It was a cloud by day. And when the pillar of fire moved or the cloud moved, they knew it was time to pick up camp and to move, to follow the Lord. But God says, I'm not going to lead you this way anymore. I'm going to lead you a different way. And the different way was now going to be by the Word of God. How important that is. Leading by the Word of God. That means they had to follow as God had called them to. And that brought us to submission in verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Again, the idea of not passing this way before is speaking, this is a different way they were going to go. No longer by the Shekinah glory, but by the Word of God. And here's the thing. As you follow the Word of God, God has told us what He desires, hasn't He? I mean, it's not complicated what God has said. Yes, you could spend a lifetime studying it, but what God says is pretty simple. We don't have to think a lot about it. Think about a family. God says, I created them male and female in the beginning. There's the family. Okay? It's not complicated. But man says, I'm not going to follow that. What are you saying? Well, I'm not going to follow God. I'm going to follow what I want. And God says, no, you have to submit to me. You have to be guided by me. What I desire, I want you to follow after. And then there's consecration in Joshua 3:5. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves or consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. We are to place our lives on the altar of sacrifice and give our lives completely to the Lord. His will, not mine. And it all boils down to this last point of obedience in verse 6 of Joshua 3. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. You know, we have to walk the walk, guys. We have to follow him according to his word and not our own ideas or the world's ideas. And as we move now into Joshua chapter 5, we're going to focus on those really last three points in a sense, submission, consecration, obedience. You have to remember, they've crossed over the Jordan River. They're in the promised land, the land that God had promised them, had given them, and they're preparing for their first battle. And it was the battle against the city of Jericho. Fortified city, big walls, big army. As we'll see over the next few weeks, God is going to lead them in three experiences before they're ready to enter into this battle. You think, well, why? Because God is more interested in the heart than our activities. And once our heart is right, then it's time to do battle. We tend to do it the other way around. We just want to do things. No, God wants your heart. You know, God didn't die for your sins so you could work. He died for your sins so you could have fellowship with him. That's what he wants. And isn't it out of that fellowship, that relationship we have from God, that we serve him? Absolutely. That's the way it needs to be. Before they battle or encounter this battle, there are some things they have to do. And the first thing we see God instruct them to do is to be circumcised. Are you kidding me? Right? I mean, think about that. And we're going to cover that this morning. But wow, that's a crazy thing to say to a group of men that are going to go to battle shortly. But that's exactly what God was instructing them to do. A renewal of circumcision is the first experience. Then they were to celebrate Passover, a picture of their redemption and the work. And they were to look back at the first Passover and what God had done for them and see that God is continuing to work in their lives in the promised land. The celebrating of Passover is the second experience. And lastly, the manna stopped, and now they're to gather food from the land themselves. They're in the promised land, the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey, and the appropriation of the land's produce is the third experience. And we're going to cover those over the next few weeks, and then we're going to conclude this chapter, Joshua chapter 5, by looking at an encounter that Joshua had with the Lord and just the powerful lessons that the Lord has for us in that section as well. This morning, I want to focus on this idea of the renewal of circumcision and what it's all about. And interestingly enough, I called the study, Cut It Out, okay? You know, you guys are a little uncomfortable with that, but hang in there. Here's the thing. This is not really speaking of cutting away the physical foreskin, but the foreskin of our heart. It's the idea of putting off the old man, the old life, and putting on Christ. Do you really think you're going to have the victorious Christian life by living in the flesh? I mean, it makes no sense. You can't live in both worlds and expect to have victory. I mean, do you really think as a soldier you're going to do good in battle when you haven't used any of your weapons, you're, you know, eating junk food all the time, you're not preparing, you're not studying what the enemy's, where the enemy is? Of course not. You got to prepare for battle. And one of the things we have to do, cut off the flesh, put on Christ, live for him, and see the victories that God will give us in the situations that we face every single day of our lives. Because again, we can't win the battles in the flesh. We win by walking in the Spirit. And that's, again, what the book of Joshua, I think, is really focusing on. A life of the Spirit, being guided and empowered by the Spirit of God. I'll just share this quick story with you. There was a London business man. His name was Lindsay Clegg, and this is years ago. He told the story of a warehouse property he was selling. And the building had been empty for months and needed repairs. Vandals had damaged the doors, smashed the windows, and strewn trash around the interior. As he showed a prospective buyer the property, Clegg took pains to say that he would replace the broken windows, bring in a crew to correct any structural damage, and clean out the garbage. "Forget about the repairs," the buyer said. "When I buy this place, I'm going to build something completely different. I don't want the building, I want the site." And compared with the renovation God has in mind, our efforts to improve our own lives are as trivial as sweeping a warehouse slated for the wrecking ball. When we become gods, the old life is over. He makes all things new. All he wants is the site and the permission to build. And that is what God wants to do in our lives. A new creation in Christ. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And as we go through these verses this morning, there's five main points I want to bring out. The call of God, a look back, a look at the present, obedience, and a death to the old life, or cut it out, as I titled this. So let's pick up Joshua chapter 5, beginning in verse 2, and see what the Lord has for us this morning as we study His Word and look at this topic of cut it out. "At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel,'" again the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel, at the hill of the foreskins. I wonder why it was called that, huh? Think about this. You are going to go into battle. But before you go into battle, you're going to have major surgery. What? From a human perspective, it makes no sense. And that's how we look at what God calls us to do many times. Well, that doesn't make sense. Why am I doing that? Because the Lord knows better. He knows exactly what we need. And the whole idea here is a renewal of circumcision. You think, well, why a renewal of circumcision? Well, simple. Some 500 years earlier, God made a covenant with Abraham, and the sign of that covenant was circumcision. And during their captivity in Egypt, those 400 plus years, they didn't circumcise their sons. But as they came out of Egypt, they did circumcise the males, and yet, now 40 years wandering in the wilderness, they didn't practice the sign of the covenant. And what that really shows me is their spiritual condition. And it wasn't good. And Joshua now is renewing the covenant that God made with the children of Israel, with Abraham. The men are going to be circumcised. And circumcision speaks of our consecration unto God, or setting ourselves apart from this world and unto the Lord. It was a symbolic act of cutting away the flesh, becoming more sensitive to the things of God. In Deuteronomy 10:16, listen to what Moses told them. "Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart, and be stiff-necked no longer." In other words, their heart had become hard towards God. Remove that hardness. Cut it away. Be sensitive to the things of God. Listen to what He's telling you. And here's this new generation now, entering into the promised land, and they're obeying the voice of the Lord. And they're being circumcised just as the Lord had told them. They were moving from a life of the flesh to a life of the Spirit, as they cut away this flesh. And again, you know, we read these stories and we don't think much about it, but think about this. I don't know how long you're incapacitated after circumcision. Most of us were circumcised when we were young, firstborn. But imagine being an adult, a soldier, and they're using these really amazing amazing surgical instruments, flint knives. Ow! Where's the anesthesia? Right? I don't even think they had papers to sign. Here's your consent for your circumcision, right? This is happening. And then they're going to go into battle. Jericho is not that far away. You think, why would you do this? They're trusting the Lord. The Lord told them to do this. And they're obedient to the Lord. Again, we think of it as foolishness. God says, this is what I want you to do. You think it's foolish to listen to the Lord? Absolutely not. The Lord was not going to tell them, and He's not going to tell us to do something that is going to hurt us or is going to wipe us out. There's no way. I'm not saying this that it's going to be easy. But obeying Him is the best thing to do. And the reason they could obey the Lord was because they knew the Lord. They knew that they could trust Him. They saw how God brought them through the Jordan River now on dry ground. These raging waters were stopped up on either side. And there they go, right through. And now this battle of Jericho, doesn't matter if we're circumcised. God will see us through. He will give us the victory. I remember, going through several tough times in the ministry. And my wife reminded me, Joe, the Lord didn't bring you up here just to leave you here, but to do a work. And you think, the light goes on. You go, oh, yeah, it just makes sense. But sometimes you need to be reminded of that. I'm so thankful for my wife because she's very sensitive to these things. And there are times you just need to be reminded. I think the picture that God is painting for us here is that He is more concerned with our hearts. That we are surrendered to Him, consecrated unto Him. That we are ready to fight once the heart is dealt with. Remember what Paul said in Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to know the will of God? Be in His Word, and then be obedient to it. And think about the covenants that God has made with man. The covenants that God made with man had an outward symbol that represented it. It showed that the covenant was in effect. Remember, what was the sign of the covenant that God made with Noah? You remember? The rainbow in the sky, right? I'll never destroy the earth again by floodwaters. Wipe the earth completely out by floodwaters. We see it in Genesis 9. If you want to turn there, you could read verses 11 through 17. Thus I establish my covenant with you, speaking to Noah. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud. And I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. That's the covenant that God made with Noah. There's also one that God made with Moses. That covenant was the Sabbath day. That sign was the Sabbath day. In Exodus 31, verses 16 and 17, therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. Also, we have, like I spoke of, the covenant that God made with Abraham. And the sign of that covenant, as I said, was circumcision. And we read of that in Genesis 17, verses 1 through 14. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins. and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. God gave to Abraham and his descendants the land of Canaan. And this covenant of circumcision was to show them that this is what they were to do. Philip Keller says the rite of circumcision represented the unique recognition on man's part that he was no longer a free will agent to do as he pleased, but rather a covenant person under direction by divine authority. Absolutely. So this is the call of God. We see the first thing that God tells Joshua to do after entering the promised land was to circumcise the men of Israel. Again, the second time, he says. And again, the reason being is because they didn't do that in the wilderness. Now, according to the call of God, they're going to be obedient to what God has told them as they enter the Spirit-filled life in the land of Canaan. Second time, in a sense, that they're circumcised. So the first point, the call of God. Now the next point is a look back. Look at verse 4 of Joshua chapter 5. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them, all the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people who were born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. So looking back, we see that during their years of bondage in Egypt, they didn't circumcise their children. They didn't keep that covenant. As they were preparing to leave Egypt, yes, God said circumcise them before they partook of the first Passover, and then they left Egypt. But again, then there was unbelief as they left. God promised them the land of Canaan, but they looked at the land. They're like, man, there's a lot of people in the land of Canaan. They have fortified cities. How are we going to defeat them? There's giants in the land. We can't win. God didn't say, look at these people, look at their walls, look at these giants. He said, go and take the land. But because of unbelief, they didn't go in. And God said, look, from this generation, from 20 years old and up, they're going to die in the wilderness. And when that entire generation died off after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, God was ready to bring this new generation into the land of Canaan. But here's the problem. Their children, during those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, weren't circumcised. Again, I look at the spiritual condition of the nation. It wasn't good. They had forsaken God by not keeping his covenant that he made with them. It was disobedience to God's word. For 40 years, they forsook God. But God didn't forsake them. In Genesis 17:7, this is what we're told. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. This covenant that God made with them was an everlasting covenant. God was going to honor that. Yet for 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, they didn't do it. Why? Those wandering years represented the carnal life, a life lived after the flesh. Yes, those who left Egypt were uncircumcised in the flesh, but the bigger picture shows us that they were uncircumcised in the heart and body, and they didn't circumcise their children. All those years in Egypt, they didn't circumcise them. Yeah, before they partook of Passover, they had to be circumcised. They left Egypt, now 40 years in the wilderness. So looking back, we look, wow, they were living the carnal life as they refused to be circumcised or circumcised their children, and they paid for it. For us as Christians, it's good to take a look back and see what lessons we can glean from our own lives. And as we read the Bible, the lessons that God has for us in regard to failure and success of these men and women in the Scriptures. God wants us to look back. What we've done today is we live in the past. We can't get out of the past. Well, you know me. I've always had problems. I always will have problems. That's just me. I read the Scriptures. I don't see that. If you find it in the scriptures, you show me. Because I'll show you a verse that I already quoted, that we're a new creation in Christ, and the old things have passed away. Behold, all things will become new. Do we still have to deal with some of the things that happened in the past? Yeah, because there's consequences to them. If I robbed a bank and I'm in jail, just because I'm a new creation in Christ doesn't mean that the judge is going to go, oh, you're a Christian? You get out of jail free. No, there's consequences to my actions, but I no longer live that old life. I live the new life in Christ.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joel and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.